I don't think I've ever had this experience where we set out with a certain number of episodes in a series that we had pre-planned, and we went and we extended it by another 3 or 4 episodes. But this is the final episode in our Self-Motivation for Entrepreneurs series, and it was meant to be 8 episodes. I think we're on 13 now.
No, it's 11.
Okay, so it's 11, but it could possibly be 13. Who knows what happens today? This is our final episode of this series. Alon, we've covered a lot of ground. Do you want to do a quick recap for those who are listening?
Before I do the recap, I want to know how you feel, having worked with me through this and knowing that you've just got to possibly the final one, episode 11, podcast 11.
What I have really appreciated about this process is probably more of an overarching thought, and that is that motivation is intentional. And we can also control it. It's within our control. Often we consider motivation to be something external, and it can be. You know, there's many things out there that can be very motivational. But actually, even that which is out there, we can control how we feel about it. And so this idea of motivation being within our control is something that I've taken away from this.
It feels like the roles are reversed now, because I'm going to interview you. But how does it feel for you to come straight onto this podcast and say, we've come to the final one, we think? It's about completion. It's about the intention that we had was to complete this, and now we're there. We're at the last one. You commented on this because in your brain, you were at completion. We were finishing something. You didn't come into podcast number 6 and say, we nearly finished. But when you got to this podcast 11, because on our list here, we are at the last one, you commented on it. So I'm looking at the psychology of just what went on right now with you not even knowing that we were going to have this conversation, but you have just basically finished the last podcast, which is build a list and finish it.
Yeah, introduced and, as you say, finished. Thank you very much, and that's our podcast. Yeah, so that's actually a very, very interesting point. The psychology of
the list.
Of the list. Yeah. And this being a podcast about making a list and finishing it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go down the rabbit hole then.
So I'm looking here at the list, and as you pointed out, there were 8 initially, and it's turned out to be 11 because life happens and opportunities present and obstacles present. And so you are allowed to modify that list, which we did. But the actual process of writing down the list and then literally ticking off the list one by one, whether you do it electronically, if you're one of those people, or you do it with a pen and paper like I do, there is something that happens inside your brain chemistry every time you tick off something. There's the sense of achievement. And that sense of achievement is a feeling of success. And so it motivates you to move forward. And so the process that I take entrepreneurs through and the process that I follow quite religiously is I'm a list maker. I just create lists, list after list after list, and then I'll tick it. And the truth be told, sometimes I will make a list of things I've done and tick them because they're only halfway through the total list, but I just want to get that feeling.
You want to get your hit.
I want to get my hit.
Yeah.
And it's a real hit that I've done that. And even the process of ticking it, I mean, there's no, you know, we could have crossed it. I could have crossed it out, which some people do. But the whole thing about ticking off or knocking off things on a list is such a cheap way of motivating yourself in every respect of the word cheap.
Yes, I agree with you. All it takes is a pen and perhaps even just a scrap of paper. Maybe we've got a notebook. I think that would be a little bit better, be a little bit more structured with it. But as you say, a very, very cheap exercise to do. So the rest of this conversation, because I've already touched on the psychology of it a little bit, let's maybe talk a little bit about that. Maybe some of your experiences around that, or entrepreneurs that you've seen converted to this and the way that it has changed them. And then let's get a little bit practical about what a good list is and what a good list isn't, and then we'll take it from there.
In my opinion, the guru of this way of thinking is a guy called David Allen, who is the author of a book called Getting Things Done. And I know there's an updated version of the book, which I haven't read. But I read this many years ago. It was recommended to me. And I was one of those people who had these lists of things to do in my head, lists of things to do in those days in my file effects, and lists of things that I hadn't even written down. And I always felt overwhelmed by how much I had to do. And he and I'm paraphrasing here, his whole process was to create a single pile and a single list of everything that needs to be done and then prioritize and either scrap, file, or put on the list. He was quite brutal in terms of how you dealt with things that you had to do, and brutal in a good way. And so that got me into a very disciplined way of working. And I wouldn't say that I follow him exactly. I try to, but I've got effectively two things going on all the time. I've got a pile, which is another form of a list. I've got a pile of things to do. And those are documents to read, contracts to sign, you know, things like that. And I've got a list of things to do, which in the past was very much in a book where I wrote it down. And I used my notebook and a certain methodology there, where if I put a little square, it meant it was a task. If I put a little triangle, it was a project. It was something a little bit more complex. If I put a bi-directional arrow on top of a square, it meant I had to transfer this into another book. And that other book, by the way, was all the lessons that I'd learned. I've got another book. As I learn things or read a book and collect sayings, collect thoughts, collect ways of thinking, I write that in another book. So there's this way for me to identify what needs to be transferred. And once it's transferred, it's ticked and it's removed. And so I built this methodology based on David Allen, which was, as I'm working through my day, I would collect the things to do, because very often we'll be in meetings and those meetings will have some sort of action item that comes out of it, but we forget about it. So I would write it down and then collect those. In the past, I would collect them and then move them into a book of all my tasks. And today I feel quite modern because I've moved it electronically and I create the task list electronically. And there's a beautiful thing in this task software that I use where every time I click, it makes a sound and gives me a little buzz.
There's your hit again.
There's my hit. And so my whole world revolves around this electronic list and the pile. And so when I work on the weekend, I create the pile. I've just put that on the right of my desk. The list is curated, and then I look at between the two, and then I prioritize. But what's interesting, I work in a way where I get rewarded for doing the hard work. So I spoke about a contract. That's a grindy piece of work. Read through that. Straight after that, underneath that pile, would be something very easy to do.
Okay, so in your prioritization process, you are also thinking about your psychology.
Yes.
And you're saying hard, easy, or yeah, something to that effect.
But there's a part to easy that's important. Easy is quick. So it might be easy, but take long. Mm. It's not that. It's more just about being easy.
You want a quicker reward.
I want a quicker reward. So yeah. I had a hard session where it took an hour to get through this thing. Then I want 12 seconds. I read that, I just sign it off and say, yes, done, tick. So I've got two things done in an hour and 4 seconds.
I'll keep my contract short and you don't even have to read it. You can just sign it. Okay, so you're constantly, again, managing your psychology even as you are prioritizing, as you're going through both your list and also your pile.
Yes. And moving between the two as well, because you know, some of the electronic stuff is actually digitally online, or, you know, I have to respond to an email or write a document or whatever the case may be. It's not in the pile per se. So I work in the pile and digitally. And the psychology is not just going easy, hard in the pile. It's also then moving between the digital, inverted commas, pile or list and what's in the pile.
Just to get a little bit more granular on the actual practicality of it, it sounds almost like there's a master list.
Yes.
So there's a list above your list and your pile, which is your priority list. Is that correct?
No, because the digital list will very seldom have a subset of what's in the pile. So the pile is people have brought me documents and want me to read through something or whatever the case may be. And maybe this is not politically correct to say, but I like to read on paper better than digital. My team knows that, so they'll print things for me because they'll know they'll get a better and quicker response from me if they do that. So I've always got a pile, and the list, 95% of the list is not what's in the pile. Maybe 99%. Sometimes there's a crossover because I've just printed something.
But you said yes, there's a master list. I guess my question here, I'm sorry, is how do you determine, because you've got two separate items, how do you determine your priority as you're looking at the screen or as you're looking at the pile?
That's the psychology.
Is it just happening as it happens?
It's happening as I've got both now.
So
I'm trying to get easy, hard, and trying to move these two piles down.
So what you're doing is you're going through the list in front of you and you're saying, that one's easy, I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
That one's easy, I'm going to do it right now. That one's hard, I'm going to do it now, and then that one's going to, I'm going to follow it. Okay.
And the same in the pile.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then I might vacillate between the pile and the digital list.
Okay.
So because some things just practically, I need to write an article.
Yeah.
That's not in the pile.
Yeah.
But it's on a to-do list.
Yeah.
So now I have to go and do that would be a hard one.
But that's fine. So what I'm just wanting to understand is that it's a live interaction with your list and with your pile.
Yes.
Rather than making another list to make another list to make another list.
No, it's just two. I don't make a list. No master list.
Okay, so it's a live interaction with what you're doing right now.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. So I move between the two and I'm quite disciplined about ticking off because I get the high every time I tick, whether it's an electronic tick and with that sound or whether it's actually that piece of paper then moves and I've got these plastic sleeves and then I feel like a factory because there's my briefcase on my left-hand side and as I finish, it goes into the sleeve and then I put it into the briefcase for taking to work on Monday or whenever the case may be. And so the pile goes down, so I have the visual input of that pile being taken out.
The visual payoff, yeah.
The payoff, yeah. And I've got the sound payoff.
And you've got a briefcase that's so getting more and more full.
Full, yeah. So I've got all these visual clues that I'm being successful because I'm getting through stuff. And it's just a very cheap way of getting a high.
Can you talk to us about an entrepreneur that perhaps resisted this and then was embraced it and then was converted to it? Do you have a story like that? Or
yes,
is that your story?
That's my story. I do know. I know many entrepreneurs who use lists. I know fewer that use the piles, and I don't know any, I'm sure there are, that use both.
Why did you resist? My question was...
Because it's hard. You have to be organized.
Mm.
But what I worked out for myself was that it just made life a lot easier. And what Dave Allen speaks about is these open loops. Now, as an entrepreneur, you know that you're at a function, you're hearing a speech and going, oh, I need to do that. And there's this open loop and then you try and remember it and then you might send yourself an email or you might send yourself a WhatsApp or whatever the case may be to try and remember. Or you might have a to-do list on your phone because you're picking that up. Now you've got that on the phone and then you're in a meeting and you've got a notebook and then you're in a place where you just have to try and remember stuff. And so you've got all these open loops and there's so much energy trying to remember and you can never remember everything. So the discipline of creating a single place, and that's why I say I don't follow Dave Allen to the T, because he talks about a single place. I've got two places. I've got a digital place and I've got a pile.
Yeah. And so the interesting part here is that you are creating motivation in a very structured way. You've realized that there's a discipline in creating a certain level of motivation and forward momentum for yourself. It's a discipline.
It's a discipline. Because I feel successful as I tick it off. I really do. And no matter how small that thing is, I feel success every time I tick it off, in whichever way.
I think about the things that are on my lists. And sometimes there's something that I've just been procrastinating. And it could be the smallest thing. You know, it's just it's a bother. But when it's done, it is a great feeling.
Don't you find that there are certain things on that list that are bigger in your mind than in reality? I have that, where you've got to do something. And it just feels like huge in your mind. And then you go, okay, today's the day. I'm going to hit this thing. And then you do it and you think, what was I fussing about?
Yeah, 15 minutes typing a few points on a Word document. And there you've embedded a process into your business. But you were so avoiding it like the plague.
Yeah. Now, I want to move the conversation to a different place.
Okay.
Because I know you like that.
I do like that.
It's about delegation. When you start to build the list, you can become a little obsessive about it. You can build these lists because you get addicted to all the ticks. So you want to collect as many of the opportunities to tick as possible. And you can become overwhelmed by massive lists and massive piles. The second level of discipline is to look at this to-do list and say, am I the right person to do this? Or do I need to delegate this right now?
there's a lot of crossover, and the person whose name came to mind, and in some ways there's some things that he speaks about that I'm less interested in, but Brian Tracy speaks specifically about this, the ability to prioritize and then delegate that which is either a low priority or can or should be done by someone else.
Hmm. And so sometimes you're in a dilemma because it's going to take you 4 seconds and somebody else should do it. By the time you explain it, it's not worth it. But if it's going to take you 4 hours and it's going to take you a few minutes to explain it, then you delegate. And if that person's obviously competent and responsible to do that. So that is the second level of this pile making and list making, is to actually maintain it through delegation. And so you start to understand, even within the construct of actually partly doing a task. So you might say, I will do the first edit and then push it on to the next person, say, right, you take it from here. So that kind of evolution of how you manage your list is an incredibly important one as your business becomes more and more successful, because as you are becoming more successful, there's more decisions that need to be made. There's invariably more people that are looking to you to make decisions or inform them or sign documents or whatever the case may be. And by definition, there is a limit to your capacity, and so you will become the constraint in the business. So it's very important early on to build the discipline of delegation and know what you should be doing and what other people should be doing. And if this is very important, if you don't have the people to delegate to, that's the problem. That should go on your to-do list. Find the person to delegate to.
And to steal a phrase from Flow Code, which I know you love, strategy is executed through departments.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to delegate into those departments, you're in a real bothersome place. Mm-hmm. But that's another conversation for another day. It's another series on Flow Code, and that will be about strategy. But coming back to motivation, even being able to delegate, there's a payoff there, isn't there?
Yeah, sure. You tick the box. That list goes down, pile goes down, and you're moving through stuff. But you're only dealing with what you should be dealing with. And it might just be that you just delegate without even participating in the, oh, this is for Gareth. Oh, this is for Mike. Oh, this is for Vusi. Oh, this is for Mary. Whatever the case may be. And often when I get, because people will delegate up as well, I will get what I call a love letter on a document, which is a note to me giving me instruction on what they want me to do on the document. Often I will respond by saying, this is not my role. This is your role. You finish it. When you become very good at getting stuff done, people tend to delegate to you. And that's another just caution.
That's a very good caution, in fact. Because then you become overwhelmed, and then the opposite effect occurs, a demotivational process ensues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I suppose the measure of motivation for me in managing the pile and the list is the pace of the throughput. Is that consistent? And just like anything else, you get to understand what that throughput should be. And if you're not reducing your pile by a certain amount of documents a week or reducing your list by a certain number per week, you get a sense of the fact that you're not performing. Okay. But if those piles are piling up too much, you're also knowing that there is a problem. And then your option is delegate, do, or chuck.
Delegate, do, or chuck. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Some things must be discarded because they're just not high value. So let's quickly summarize here. First, it's about the discipline to create a list in the first place.
And a pile.
And a pile. Yes, because we want physical and we want that list. And let's get some payoff. I think that's a key thing that you've spoken about, is the visual element of seeing things reducing. Not just the bell notification. It's not just getting it done, but it's actually physically seeing it getting done. Then the second is the discipline, and it is a discipline, of delegation and making sure that you understand why there's an ebb and flow to the pile or the list that you have. Is that an accurate summary?
Yeah, I would put on the nuance in the first point that it's not just about creating the pile, it's about the psychological management of how you are dealing with the pile.
Hard, easy. Easy being quick.
Quick, yeah.
And that is the voice of Alon Ray, CEO of Race Corp. And that brings us to the end of this series. We hope you've enjoyed it. Tick, exactly. And we do hope that you've enjoyed it and taken from it as much as we have enjoyed each other's company and also grown ourselves as we've gone through this. I certainly have anyway. If you want to stay updated with what podcast series is going to be coming out next, go to racecorp.com and you'll be able to sign up for notifications there. In addition to this, go to your favorite social media platforms where notifications will be shared there as well. Or just simply go to your favorite podcast platform and Razor's Edge podcasts are all available there. I'm Gareth Armstrong and we'll see you in the next series.